They had an academic review committee. So my brain just typed, my brain and my fingers came up with that term for this meeting. So
why does that?
Lot said, it's the application review committee. And like, yeah, I know that, but.
I know, but it's kind of feeling important. Like, well, maybe this is like, you know, gotta go. Hello, Dr. Malott. Hello, Dr. Gill. Mr. Dinar.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I have it 7:28. Do you guys have 7:28? Can we start?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
I thought it was, oh, for the mini meeting, yes.
For the mini meeting. Is that okay?
Yep.
And then, not that I wouldn't want to hang with you guys, but I'm only on the meeting. Then I'm off.
We'll excuse you.
Thank you. I'd like to call the meeting of the Complaint Screening Committee to order. Today's date is August 28th, 2020. The time is 7:28. And Executive Director, would you like to call the roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Shreve?
Present.
Mr. Dinar?
Good morning, I'm present.
Good morning. Will you have a quorum?
Great, thank you. Are there any changes, additions, or corrections to the July 15th, 2020 regular session or executive session meeting? And the people that are voting on this is Dr. Gill, Dr. Malott, and me. Dr. Dinar, you are not part of this committee, this meeting, so that you'll be excused from this one.
So yes, I'm excused from, yeah, exactly.
Thank you. So is there a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. And then we're going to, are there any changes, additions, or corrections to the August 19th, 2020 regular session or executive session meeting? And this will only include Dr. Dinar, and Mr. Dinar, and Dr. Gill. Dr. Malott and I are excused from this one. We weren't part of that. So Dr. Gill and Mr. Dinar, no questions. Do you have a motion to approve them?
So moved.
Okay, got it.
Second. Both of you.
Mr. Dinar, you're
perfect. We can second it too.
Perfect. You both motioned and second. Are you both in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the Complaint Screening Committee, which has probably been the fastest committee meeting I've been in for a long time?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Well, I am going then, the meeting is adjourned. I'm going to excuse myself, and I hope you have a great CSC meeting.
Have a great weekend.
You too, you guys. Hey, thank you, everybody. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Dinar.
For joining me.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. I guess I have to call the next meeting to order. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome, Dr. Gill, to your first official meeting of the Application Review Committee.
Thank you.
The time is 7:31. It's August 28, 2020. And this is the meeting of the Application Review Committee of the State of Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiners. And I would like to call this meeting to order. Ms. Folks, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes. Dr. Malott?
Here.
Dr. Gill?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Okay. I don't think we can do the approval of the minutes since we don't have Dr. Myers present. So we will have to postpone that till we have him. So we will go ahead and move to item number 4, which is discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. Dr. Gill, I will start with the first applicant. And what I typically do, as you probably observed, is that we go back and forth. We do a very, very brief overview of the main highlights of the application. And then we let the other member raise any questions as well, besides the ones you might raise. And then we'll finish that. Then either you or I will make a motion to approve or whatever the status might be, and then we'll go to B, and then we'll go to C. So we will start with A. We have a very small agenda. So I don't want to jinx it, but I think it will go very quickly. And we can get on with the rest of our day. So I'll start with number A, and that is Dr. Antonia Marie Garcia. She is an applicant for approval to sit for the EPPPN licensure. She got her degree from Michigan State, also did her doctoral degree. She then came to Arizona, did her an APA-approved internship for 3,920 hours. So she meets the 3,000 hours of post, supervised professional experience. I didn't see any problems with the application. All her references were in order. No reports, nothing. So I think she's ready to move forward.
I agree.
Okay. You want to go with the next one?
Yes. Next one is Craig Zinkowitz. He's a PsyD. This also involves his request to take the EPPP and the license. He did complete all the requirements in completing his application, included all the appropriate, I think he has a background as a school psychologist. There was verification, supervised training. He earned his hours as an intern in an internship and postdoc. He was in a non-APA program. And I reviewed the verifications for the internship and the postdoc. Everything seemed in order except for one thing, at least from my perspective. When I looked at the core requirements, it didn't appear that he had an ethics class or course, and that he had other classes included in the ethics as part of the core requirements. And I would certainly defer to you, Dr. Millett, as to the appropriateness of that. Do you have a comment on that? Or
you just passed the test, Dr. Gill. You're ready to go on your own now.
I don't know about that. I'll still defer to you, please.
No. That is exactly what I observed in his application. I didn't see, and I checked all the syllabi that he included. I'm not 100% sure if I saw every single one in that category, but I did not get clear evidence that he met the ethics requirements. So we do need to send him a letter. What we typically do, as Ms. Folks knows, is we can say you can either, submit coursework, identify that it is equivalent to three. I've seen I don't like it, but I've seen people say I had 20% ethics here and 20% ethics there, and that adds up to 3 credits. And we have accepted it on rare occasion, but they can also submit their comp exam if they've done comprehensive exams.
Yes.
And they can demonstrate they passed the ethics portion, we could accept that. So that would be the letter he would get. So.
Yes. Okay. Well, I certainly concur.
Okay. So that's great. Thank you. I'm sorry to be kind of light, but I'm happy so that we are on the same page. So
yes.
So the next one is Lizette Serrano, and she went to Alliant University, got her degree in 2019 in clinical psych, did an APA-approved internship, did her postdoc at Sierra Tucson, and if one of our previous members were here, they would be very pleased to see that 3,000 hours, boy, talk about being precise, 2121.5. First, I calculated, and I was short 3, and then I looked at my numbers, and I had written them incorrectly. So, but it was exactly 3,000 hours. So obviously meets the requirement for professional supervised experience. and then has, you know, references and everything else. So I didn't have a problem with this
application. I have one question. I was under the impression she had been in that internship for 1 year. I thought you couldn't earn more than 2,080 hours in a full year rather than the 21.5 that she declared. So
I
had determined that she didn't quite earn her 3,000 hours. Would that be accurate?
That would be accurate. Let me pull up her application. 21.21. Yeah, I was so fascinated by the numbers.
Well, I'm caught up in the idea that if they're working full time and work for a whole year and work 40 hours a week, they can't earn more than 20 hours in a year.
She has 3 extra days, but that would be even if she did 8-hour days, that would be another 24. So if you do 20. Because she has 3 extra days, and depending on how Saturdays and Sundays and, you know, the week falls, I'm wondering whether it is possible to, because you see the 23rd to the 24th.
Yes, that's another 120 hours.
Not 120, 3 days?
Well, 40, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's another 24, sorry.
You know,
I mean, I hate to be technical about this. She's so close. But
no, we have to be technical. So you're right on that. So there's another 18 hours left. And if you do the 3 extra days, and you add a couple of, you know how the year falls sometimes with in terms of weeks, and you know, you could have a couple of extra working days a month. So, and the supervisor attested to, you know, the 40 hours a week, and it is an APA approved internship. I think, you know, she probably, I mean, I think 21-21 could add up. You know, I hate to go to a calendar and look for the hours, you know.
Okay. So,
because she does have those 3 extra days, and depending on how the days fell, technically she could have met the 21-21.
Yes. Okay. I would agree.
Yeah. So I think we should go ahead and approve her.
Okay, I second that.
Okay, we have one more in this category.
Nicole Kemper. Her application looks complete. The information that she provided appears appropriate. I should say that she's going for an exam and a license. And she earned her master's in PsyD degree and at Midwestern, I believe. So it's APA. I went through all the details of this. My summary is that she met all the requirements.
Okay.
Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. And there's no problem with the applications. So we have finished everybody in this category. So yes. I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve Dr. Garcia, Dr. Soriano, and Dr. Kemper to move to the full board for approval to sit for the EPPP and upon passing licensure, and request additional information on the ethics class from Dr. Zinkiewicz. So
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We will move to the next category, and that is approval for licensure by waiver. Of the four candidates we have in this category, we have basically we have individuals who have I'm trying to find, okay, here's the application. We have people who we've requested additional information. When that is the case, we I have to go to my desktop because a lot of these applications we had to download. So Dr. Yang, the first one we have is, sorry, now I lost my agenda.
Can I ask what FAIR stands for?
It stands for first additional information request.
Okay.
And then S would be second. So we know how often, you know, we are going back to the, just give me, this is too confusing. I have so many files open now.
Yeah, well, with this one, it had been reviewed once before at the last meeting.
And
we had asked for a note from the supervisor regarding direct patient contact.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the supervisor puts a note in there. So we still don't have the exact. My question to Ms. Folks is, what was the answer regarding logs? Because that's oftentimes, we asked us to submit either logs. Do we know
Can I make a comment on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
We asked for either logs or a letter from her supervisor. We did receive a letter from the supervisor.
Yeah, the letter is kind of...
It's a little ambiguous.
Yeah.
But she said, to the best of her recollection, that this individual met the 25% requirement.
Yeah.
At least that's my understanding here. And
I was just curious, did she respond to say that her logs were lost? I mean, she's a fairly recent graduate, if I'm not mistaken.
I think this program is no longer in existence. I think that's part of the problem.
But your internship hours are done outside of the program.
That's true.
So you should be, either the agency or somebody should have. So I'm just curious, did you hear about that, Ms. Folks?
Dr. Millett, Dr. Gill, yes. We received all the records that are available. They're, ASPPB is the custodian of records. They sent everything they have, and it's included in this file. Dr. Tetch, it was her supervisor. She was refusing to provide verification until Dr. Young hired an attorney, and the only thing we got was the letter that Dr. Tetch finally sent in. So it has been pretty much impossible for Dr. Young to get verification or record.
No, but what did she say to the question of law?
They don't have them. Nobody has them. I don't know what happened to them, but ASPPB doesn't have them. Dr. Young doesn't have them. Dr. Tetch says she has no records at all.
What did Dr. Young say about the record? Did she lose them? Is it the copy of the agency? I mean, there's no response to that question, which is a critical question in my opinion.
Yeah,
they should get a response saying, this is all the records we have, but you know, all of us are advised to keep our logs. And
Dr. Millett, I don't know that we've asked Dr. Young for her records.
It's in the letter. The letter. And generally speaking, we get logs directly from the applicant. We don't even get it from the agency because applicants have a copy of their logs, a signed copy. So that was my question, because there's no reference to it. And we said you could submit logs, but nobody's answering the question.
I'm looking it up now, but it's my understanding in our memo that what we sent to her was that either you submit the logs or you get a letter from your supervisor. I think there was an or there.
But the letter from the supervisor is vague. So the logs would have been, I know, I hate to belabor this point, but the fact that it wasn't even addressed, you know, what happened to the logs? Did they even keep logs? You know, I mean, those are all the questions. And it doesn't look like ASPPB verifies the direct hours. They verify the 15:20 and
the face-to-face.
Yeah, the 15:20 total hours and the supervision. So yeah. Both of those have been verified. California doesn't seem to verify direct. ASPPB doesn't verify direct. The supervisor writes this vague note, or it has to have been. And I agree, but I think it's up to the candidate to address that question. Logs? You know,
I had some other issues with this one. I noticed that there was no signatures on the application or on the internship verification. Now, is that, to me, that strikes me as important that you sign these this paperwork, and I think the written plan for the internship appeared weak to me, but I would defer to your judgment. But
the only thing is, we do have the in the past, Dr. Gill, when we get candidates, you know, especially if internship sites have closed down. She did her internship in 2010, 2011, it looks like. We have accepted the California psychology paperwork. And so there is a signature there for the supervisor, Peter, I can't read, Silo. So his signature is on there. So I would be okay. And that was submitted to another licensing board. And we do have a copy of that. So is this person licensed?
She passed her EPPP.
But she didn't get her license in California.
But she doesn't have a license. Did you have any questions about the written plan on the internship?
No, I'm okay with that. It seems, you know, it has all the, and it has an evaluation and...
Well, the postdoc is pretty thorough. I'm referring to the internship.
So here's the internship agreement. Oh, this is from, it has 19 hours of individual, couple, and therapy, 2 hours of intake interviewing, 1 hour of training monthly. So 19, 20, 21, 22. So based on that, the total number of direct hours is at 50%, you know, based on the agreement.
Yes.
So, and the agency, the primary supervisor, and her all signed it. So I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and it basically provides, you know, some level of agreement. And then there's more details about the agreement does say 50% of hours. It's very specific. And then it's been verified. It has a stipend.
A statement of this nature meets the criteria then.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, okay. That one is fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's I think I'm still learning about what criteria is meets the what agreement could meet the criteria that we're looking for.
Yeah, and part of the agreement is we don't want it to be an ad hoc experience where somebody's just like, oh, well, okay, oh, I'm going to count this as an internship. And so when you have an agreement, you know, when it's a planned sequential type experience, then having that agreement means you're entering into that relationship with the agency as an intern with a supervisor, and, you know, it's organized and it's a training experience, not just, you know, you've been there, you've been working, and now you count it as an internship, you know. So it has to have the elements that specify that it is a training experience, you okay. know, and it does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I think based on the agreement, since the agreement does specify some direct hours, you know, the 20%, the supervisor has indicated that it's more than 25%. Let's go ahead and move her then to the full board. So,
okay, I would second.
Okay, and so we'll go to the next one before we take a motion. So, Spring Johnson, do you want to do Spring Johnson?
Sure. This is a another waiver case. Spring Johnson has a CID. I guess there was a memo. This case was went before the application review committee that reviewed the case, and I think there was a lack of a written training program, and there was concern that her training at UCLA, the verification only included group supervision, and so it appears that we received a response from Dr. Johnson that it was her postdoc was at Barrows, and received a written response, including a written training program. And that, from my standpoint, that appeared to meet that particular issue. I think what remained outstanding was the fact that we didn't have numbers from the from the verification for her training at UCLA regarding face-to-face individual supervision, and that's and to me everything is meets the requirement except for that issue. So I don't know, Dr. Malott, what you think about that, but we didn't get a response to that issue of face-to-face supervision at her internship.
Dr. Malott, Dr. Gill, this is Kathy.
Yes.
I believe what happened here was that the pre-internship verification was replaced with the postdoc verification. And then the committee had was not satisfied with the supervision agreement. It did not meet the requirements of a written training plan. So they had requested a new written training plan, which was received for the postdoc. And that's really what you're looking at today.
Yeah, so we're not using the pre-internship hours towards meeting the supervised professional experience. And the fact that she now has a satisfactory written training plan, we can move her forward.
So. Okay, and I second.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the next one we have is Tamara Fisher, who is... let me pull up her application. So Dr. Fisher, we're seeing her for the first time, if I'm not mistaken, for a temporary licensure. And she got her degree from Augustine University in 2018. She is submitting her internship hours and her postdoc hours, which she has a lot of, 4,000 hours. She does list pre-internship hours, but those are not being used towards this. Her internship was down at Southwest Behavioral Health for 2000, and it's an APA-approved internship, so she's good there. and her postdoc, because she's got a lot of hours, 3,000 hours, and she meets the supervision requirement as well as the direct contact. She did it at Arizona Neurology Associates, and it has a training plan. It's all signed. We have two reference forms, so she's ready to move forward and meets the requirements for the temporary licensure. So she's already has a temporary licensure. So I'm assuming, so I'm a little confused then. She's not applying for a temporary licensure.
Dr. Millott, this is Kathy.
Yes, go
ahead. She's applying for licensure by waiver because she's passed the ECCC now.
Oh, okay, okay. So they do another whole application?
Yes, the temporary application, temporary license does not transfer to an independent license.
Okay, okay. Thank you for that. Okay, so then she meets all the requirements and is ready to move forward unless you have any questions.
I agree.
Okay. You want to do the next one?
Yes. Next one is Karen Katar. She's a PsyD.
May I interrupt? I'm sorry. The next one is Dr. McFarland. She was added late.
Sorry. Okay. I put that in another spot. Give me just a second here.
Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a Maria McFarland. She's on waiver. She passed the ECCC, is requesting a license. She completed her application. And I think there was a concern about a written training program. She submitted an addendum. Submitting a written training program that included goals and objectives from Barrows, which is where she received her training. And it's a pretty thorough written plan that we received. I think a memo was submitted at the last meeting that she didn't have a proper written plan, which has since been received, as I've said. They also included the seminar schedules. I don't know if that was necessary, but
that's fine.
At any rate, the written plan is pretty thorough, and I didn't have any problems with this case.
Okay, great. Yeah. That was the only thing that we required. We had reviewed her before, but we noticed the lack of the written training plan, so we asked for that. And so I'm glad they submitted, and both Barrows has not been submitting, and so now we have one, so that's great. So she's ready to move forward. Do you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I so moved that we move it to the board.
You want to mention all applicants in this category?
I'm sorry?
You just want to mention all four applicants.
Yeah. Oh, yes. All four applicants for a waiver. They're approved by the board or approved by the committee. And I move that we submit these applications to the board for their review.
Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are done with this category. We are moving to the third category. Sorry, I should have said motion approved. And now we're moving to this new category for universal recognition. Our first candidate is Karen Katar. She has a license from Minnesota. She's had no records, no sanctions, nothing. And she got her degree from Augusta University in Minnesota in clinical psych. And she is got an Arizona driver's license, so she meets our requirement. And I don't have a problem with her application.
I would agree.
Next one.
The next one is Katrina Joy Castro. She's a PsyD. She's requesting universal recognition. She has apparently had a California license, but has a current license from Maryland. It expires March 31st, 2022. She submitted a information regarding her Arizona residency that was fairly extensive, but I didn't see a signature. Now, I don't know, again.
No, remember, this is a universal recognition. We're looking for three things.
Well, it's residency is the issue.
Residency.
And her rental agreement wasn't signed, so I don't know whether we put weight on that or not. But everything else was in order. You know, her license from Maryland is current. Her data bank report was timely, and there are no reports. She has a picture ID, passport. Everything else was in order. Again, maybe that's too technical a point, but her rental agreement was quite extensive. It was a number of pages, but not a signature was found there. So, again, maybe...
Maybe we can ask Ms. Galvin if that's an issue, especially in this day of, you know, everything's done via email.
It's really up to the committee whether they feel that it's satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Well, other than that, it seemed like all the requirements were met.
Does the driver's license address match the rental agreement address?
She had a passport.
The passport doesn't count because.
And I think the apartment agreement was filled out August the 6th, so it's rather recent. So she had a license from California. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a psych license, not a driver's license.
So what we can do is, maybe she can send Ms. Folks a signed copy of the lease. So we can just go ahead and move it to the full board consent items, as long as we get. If we don't get it, then we need to pull it off.
And this is a technical point too, but these residential agreements now are pretty extensive. And you have to sign, it's like almost like buying a house. You have to sign the paperwork, on every page. So I don't know if there's one page where you can sign it and be done with it.
Yeah, there is one here. I mean, I'm looking at page 18, and it says resident or residence agent, date of signing, owner or owner representative. So there is a sign page.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I missed them. Okay.
But it's blank. Yeah. So.
The page is in there, but there's no signature. So.
Yeah. The page is there.
Uh-huh. So I guess the point I'm making is that there's a number of pages that need to be signed regarding each individual item that's addressed under a residential agreement. So I just wonder, is there one page they could sign that takes care of the whole agreement, rather than having
a change of address to the USPS. I wonder if that counts. She does have this, the lease charges, and she gave us the bank statement or something where she's paid all the charges. So, let me go back to what documents we accept. Where is that? Oh, here it is. So dated rental contact with proof of payment. So we do have proof of payment and documentation demonstrating a change in permanent address. So that's the USPS. And she does have proof of payment. So.
Okay. Well, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Okay. So we can go with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then the next person we have is Christina Moore. And I want to see if it got downloaded.
Dr. Malak, this is Kathy.
Dr. Moore might be on the line. She indicated to me she was going to call in.
Okay. Dr. Moore, if you have questions, if you're on the line and if you have questions, we will raise it. But if we don't, we should be fine. So Dr. Moore got her degree from Honolulu, Hawaii in clinical psych in 1999. She is licensed as a psychologist. She does have a record way back in 1973. So for the last 50 years, you know, she's been fine. It was during her youth, and she submitted whatever record she had. We have the verification of the license, and we have her passport. I'm looking for, but what I don't see from, okay, I don't see I'm looking for some kind of address verification, which I don't see.
I apologize. I believe that's my error. It came in, and I think it didn't make it into the file. Let me double check. I thought I had updated this, but it looks like I didn't get it to you guys. Let's see. Can we come back to this? I will check my emails. I thought I had gotten this.
Okay. Do you want to do the next one, Doctor?
Yeah, that's Tyrone Mitchell, or I'm sorry, Liddell. He's requesting universal recognition. He's licensed in Utah, and the license is good until September the 20th, 2022. In terms of residency, he submitted a lease agreement that's signed as of July the 27th, living in Phoenix. He passed his, well, the ECPP was passed, of course. The National Practitioner Database was current, and there were no reports. He had a picture of his of himself, a Utah driver's license. I had no problem with this case.
Yeah, he meets our three requirements, you know. But he has a degree. No, not even a degree. He's licensed in another state.
Yes.
And there's no problems with this licensure. No, you know, good pass record, and he has proof of residency in Arizona.
Yes.
So he's fine to move forward as well. So the only person we are waiting on is
the Moore
candidate. Yeah.
Dr. Malott, Dr. Gill, I just emailed you a copy of her Arizona driver's license. She did submit it. It was my error that it's not in the file.
Okay, just let's look at it really quick and then... Okay, I see her Arizona's driver's license. It was issued. She's had it for a while. 2017. So, and she, it has an Arizona address too. So I don't have a problem with her application.
I have no problem.
Yeah, so. I'll go ahead and make the motion that
I think the her possession charge, it was many, many years ago, and seems like she's performed very well for many years.
So there's
no reason to hold that up.
Yes, I agree. So we can... I make a motion that we move all four candidates who applied for universal recognition to the full board for approval.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion approved. We're done with that category. We're also done with a review of all the applicants who've applied. We can move to the next item, which is new agenda items. Do you have any, Dr. Gill?
No, I don't.
Okay. Before I ask for a motion to adjourn, I do want to thank both staff for all of their work in preparing the materials. I want to thank Dr. Gill for his thorough review of all of the applications, and really appreciate your input and your attention to detail. And thank you, Ms. Galvin, for being present. If you had questions, so appreciate everyone being here bright and early.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Everyone have a good weekend.
Yes, and we can move to the final item, which is motion to adjourn.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We are adjourned. Have a great weekend, everybody, and stay safe.
Take care.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.